listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Bright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I want to keep moving forward. I want my life to be increasing in every single area. I want my finances to be increasing, or you might say that, or the lack thereof to be increasing. You know, I want to keep moving forward. I want to see the abundance that Jesus promised. Now, who's ever struggled with that passage of Scripture? And if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's in the fourth book of the New Testament. There's a book called John, and in the 10th chapter, Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, to rob, and to kill, and to take away from us. He says, but I've come that you may have life, and life more abundant, or to the fullest, or complete, he talks about in that passage. And man, I've wrestled with that passage so many times over the years, you know, because when we have a difficult time trying to define what abundance looks like. But you know, I want to keep moving forward. I want that kind of abundance that God has to bring. I want to see all those areas. I want to see every part of my life, my marriage and my relationships, and my kids and my wife. I want to see those things keep moving forward. Have you ever experienced just the opposite? Been there? Have you ever been down those roads where just, man, things just don't always work out the way? I've been down that road so many times, I know what the road signs look like. I got to memorize along the way. Yeah, I've been here before. Yeah, I've seen that. You know, I know exactly what that looks like. You know, travel, because you've been at those places when things didn't quite fit, didn't quite work out, and didn't quite come out the way you planned. I remember the first message I ever preached when I went to Thailand. I was invited by the Canadian Assemblies of God to come and to speak at one of their meetings. Don't ask me why the Canadians and the USA AG people had their own two different groups in Thailand. I have no clue. It probably happened somewhere way back in the back where somebody didn't like somebody else. Christians have a problem with that sometimes. But anyhow, so I'd come and I was speaking, and God just really spoke into my heart 10 things that I've learned since being involved in missions. And one of those 10 things is that things don't always work out the way you plan. You ever been there? I mean, things just don't always work out the way you planned. The way you planned didn't always come together just quite right. And I've been at that place so many times in my own personal life. And Chris and I have journeyed down that road where you just, you know, you're like, man, you're just dreaming and you got this aspiration. And you're just like, man, this is where we're headed. And just somewhere along the way, it gets morphed and they're sidetracked and things don't quite come together like you anticipated and like you expected. But the thing that has to happen is you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep moving forward. You have to be in pursuit of what God has, of what He desires for you and I. Because if we ever stop moving, that's when we start falling. If we ever stop moving, that's when we start drowning. If we ever stop moving, then that's when things begin to fall apart around us in a greater way. If you're moving, you're always moving toward a solution. But if you're not moving, you're not going to reach a solution. Because somewhere along the way, God will provide an answer and a direction and give you some leadership. And I don't have a clue if I follow my introduction or not. But the thing is that many of us have faced those times when we've planned and we've laid out good plans. We've laid out good things. But the harsh reality of life and the weight of life circumstances begin just to kind of come down on top of us. And things just kind of begin to disintegrate around us. When Chris and I first got married back in the late 80s, we're working on 25 years this year. We're really excited about that. And she's not here today. Chris is in Ohio. And when I was 19 years old, I'd been on my own since I was 16. And when I was 19 years old, I thought, man, I'm getting old. I need to get married. I'm serious. I'm not lying to you. I mean, this is the way my brain was thinking during that time. And so I began on this pursuit to try to find me a woman that would marry me. And Chris ended up being the lucky one. I'm just teasing. So I began, I was in Bible college at that time. And so I would just, I'm looking. I was always on the scan, and just kind of, and I'd hang out with this girl for a while, and just kind of move on to the next one. And um, And so I finally, it took me a couple years. I was 21 when we got married. And I remember walking out of the church that day and just thinking, all right, it's done. What do I do now? And I remember going on our honeymoon and all that, you know, and all those things that happened in the first few weeks. And where's Cody and Tiffany? You guys might be there. I'm not quite sure. They just got married just a few weeks ago. But I remember that period of time in the beginning of like, what in the world do I do now? Because honestly, I had no earthly clue. I had no idea. Because I'd grown up in a divorce home. My parents divorced when I was 15 and then went through multiple marriages after that point. And I had nobody that I could look at to say, they're doing it right. I had nobody to look at to say, they've got it happening. That's the way I want to be. And so the only skill sets I had brought into that relationship were bad. You ever been there? You know? I mean, the only skills I brought just didn't work. I mean, they'd been proven because I had adopted those skill sets from my parents. And I had brought them into our relationship. And Chris had grown up in an alcoholic home and had just seen the turbulent years of all through her years as a teenager growing up. And so she brought those same ineffective, dysfunctional skill sets into our relationship just the same. So we put our skill sets together. We had a lot of dysfunction going on. And you know what dysfunction means? That means something doesn't work. And so we kind of teetered along the first 9 years of our marriage just trying to figure out what in the world do we do in this thing they call this relationship of marriage. But over the years, God has really given us some tremendous insight, not only into marriage and into relationship. And he planted people in our life during those years that really helped to mentor us and help us to kind of see how this thing all fits together. And so I want to share a word with you a little bit this morning along those lines about moving forward and what moving forward really means inside of our life. Because the fact is, we all want to move forward. And in order to move forward, what has to happen? Now, you said it this morning. There you go. Change. Change has to happen. In order for us to keep moving forward, something has to change. You ever been in one of those situations and you just wish you could change some circumstances inside of your life? You know, maybe you're working a job right now. I'm turning wrenches with my dad. I grew up in an automobile repair shop, and I've done it on and off since I was 12 years old. And boy, I walk in there some days and it's hot, especially right now. And by the end of the day, I'm like, God, I would really like to change these circumstances right now. You know, but even in that, you know, I try to keep my mind focused about moving forward. But I mean, there's times that we want to change our circumstances. And so many times we talk to people and you're hanging out in conversations and you're just like, well, man, if I could just change this. You know, if I could just win the lottery, Josh. I mean, you know, all my financial worries, but if Aunt Gertrude would just come through. Man, you know, I've just been visiting her every single week. You know, I know she's kind of on the last leg. She's did well over the years. If she would just come through, you know, well then, all my financial worries would be over. You know, the percentage-wise, I think it's about 75 to 90% of every person who wins the lottery is broke again within 5 years. You see, it wasn't the money situation that needed to change. It was their perspective toward money that needed to change. But change has to happen. We talk to so many couples that are in distress in their relationship. And the conversations are always the same. The faces are just different. Well, if my wife, I mean, I've heard that so many times. It's almost funny when I hear it now. I mean, I'm not laughing at them. I'm just saying, yeah, I've heard this before, and I know exactly where you're going. Well, if my husband would just, you know, change, and secretly in there, they're thinking inside themselves, if I could just change this person that I'm hanging out with every day. If I could just change, you know, if she would just change or if he would just change, well then think, or maybe if I just changed individuals, it would be better. And many people do that. You know, they drop one off here and they go pick up another one somewhere else and they get married. And what happens? About 5 years down the road, they're saying the same thing over again. And I've seen this scenario played out over and over and over and over. I just got a phone call yesterday. Chris and I have been ministering to some friends of ours, that very close friend. We've been friends since high school, and I've been working with him and working with him and working with him throughout this year. And his wife just called me yesterday and told me she was filing for divorce. And I'll be honest with you, I was working on my house there at one of the houses I have, and I really wanted just to walk through the house and cry. You see, because I've seen people in that place. I have been in that place. And I know there's solutions if people are just willing to make the right choice. And I've sat across the table from people, and I've told him countless times, I said, one decision to do something different could turn this thing around. One decision, one change, one little thing to move in a different direction could totally and completely change the circumstances of where you're at and what's happening inside your family. But more often than not, people choose to go in a different direction because change is hard. Change is hard. But in order for us to change, in order for us to keep moving forward, we have to change. Now, when we begin to kind of hit some difficult moments in our life, and especially when we went into Thailand, we really began to deal with some very difficult times of stress. They say the regular stress level of a person on a normal everyday basis, some kind of scale, some guy with a greater PhD than me figured out that there's, I don't have one by the way, that there's this scale of intensity of stress, and said the normal person operates somewhere around on this scale about 90. Now, I don't know what that looks like exactly, because especially during those times, they said the average missionary, their stress level runs in the 400 range. So about four times more. And so we begin just to really just pound, and just things were just stressful, and you're learning language and culture and all this stuff is changing and it's going on around you and all this stuff is swirling and you're trying to figure this out. And you know, even just going to the store and buying a pack of gum is hard. You know, I mean, it's just like one of those things, just because everything is different all the time. And I remember traveling with a group of missionaries. We were driving up out of southern Thailand, and we were kind of finishing up the end of our term. And these guys have been on the field for years and years and years. And I said, guys, I said, I want to tell you the one thing I've learned in this term is that whatever's in you, good or bad, is going to come out. Whatever's in you, good or bad, it's going to come out. I mean, it's going to just, you know, it's just like squeezing the mustard container. Just, you know, it's going to come out because the squeeze of life is there on top of you, and whatever's inside is going to ooze out. And it happens. And when you face those moments, and when you and I go through those times, it comes out. But I really began to be on this quest during that time to understand change. And so I began to do all the empirical research, and I began to read books, and I began to do all of these things because I wanted to figure out what had to change in order for us to be able to live in that place that God wants us to be, in that place of abundance, in that place of increase, in that place of moving forward inside our life. What needs to change? And so I began just to search, and I began to look, and I began to pound, and I began to ask questions, and I began to go here because, man, I was on a pursuit. And I came to some just amazing conclusions. And I was dumbfounded at the things that I was just totally surprised at what I found about change that just blew me away. The thing that I found as I began to move in that direction and begin to look and begin to try to figure all this out is that I found this one element that if this one element changed, some amazing things would happen. That if this one little thing began to make change in this area, then all of a sudden all these other things would begin to line up and begin to come into place if this one thing would just be different. You want to know what that one thing is? All right, I'll get there in just a minute. Go with me if you have your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put it up on the screen for you. But in the first book of the New Testament, in the second half of your Bible, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 18, got hung out with Jesus a lot. He used to be a tax collector. He lived a pretty rotten life till Jesus saved him. And he records Jesus saying something that is so profound. And this verse has just stuck in my head for the last few weeks. I've been reading back through the New Testament again, and this verse had just kind of hung there, and I hadn't been able to get away from it. And then starting in verse 3, he says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" I mean, can you see these guys? I mean, they're all standing around. This was part of their daily conversation. There was a little bit of an ego problem going on among these guys. And so they're sitting around like, "I'm going to be the one, you know. Look at you. You're nothing, man." You know, you can just see these guys kind of talking with one another and this interaction that's going on wherever they're at. And they're hanging out with one another. Like, "Man, I know where you came from. You're not going to be the greatest. But me, I'm hanging with that dude. I'm going to be on the top." And so they're having these conversations, and so somebody gets up enough nerve to come up to Jesus and say, "Who is going to be the greatest?" And Jesus calls over a little child to himself, and it says he placed the child among them, and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And boy, I want to tell you, all of my empirical research, all of my findings, all the reading and everything else, the thing that I found that needs to change in order to keep moving forward is me. Is me. The solution to my marriage, the solution to my relationship problems, the solution to all the difficulties that I face, whether it be on my job and my finances or anywhere else, always comes down to one place. And that's me. That's you. Jesus says, unless you change. So in order for us to keep moving forward, change is absolutely necessary. But what has to change inside of our life? We do. We have to change. We have to make changes. We have to allow things to change inside of us. We have to be willing to bend and to mold and to be shaped and to be fashioned. I don't want to tell you, that's tough sometimes. I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's painful. I mean, it can be difficult to make those adjustments. And so, because we're really creatures of habit. We really are. I read this article on the internet this past week. I'm sure it's got to be absolutely true because it was on the web. And so... there was a group of researchers that were studying about self-control. And so what they did was, is they brought all of these, I think they were a group of millennials, like, you know, college-age students. They brought them into this room, and they put one stack of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. And they put one stack of freshly picked radishes. And they told one group, it says, "You can only eat cookies," and the other group says, "You can only eat radishes." And so they wanted to see how long their self-control would manage during that period of time. And so they brought them in and put them inside the room there, and they're hanging out. And, you know, of course, the guys with the cookies, they didn't have a lot of trouble staying away from the radishes. They did all right. They did really good. But the thing that was surprising is that the ones they told to eat radishes only stuck with the radishes. And that's all they ate. They didn't touch the cookies. And so they were just really surprised. And so right after that, they brought them in, sat them down, and they gave them a puzzle that required them to trace the lines in the puzzle without lifting their pen, which was impossible. It was an impossible puzzle. And what they found out is that those who ate cookies only lasted for 20 minutes. But those who ate the radishes only lasted for 8 minutes. Because they said self-control is exhaustible. In other words, you only have a certain amount of it. And it's easily exhausted if you're trying to do something using your self-control. And I thought, boy, that's really interesting. It's also really interesting that if you read in the book of Galatians and Jesus talks about the fruit of the Spirit, what is the last one that he mentions? Self-control, because it is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of God working inside of your life. So if none of those people inside that room had the presence of Christ inside of them and God working inside of them, they only had a limited amount of self-control that they were able to manage during that period of time. Now, I'm sorry here. Did everybody get notes this morning? Everybody got notes? If you didn't get notes, I think our ushers have those. You guys have those to hand them out. If you didn't get notes, raise your hand and somebody will get those to you. Wow, we got a lot of folks that didn't get notes this morning. Are you guys around? Did we get notes? Brenda, where are you at, Brenda? There you go. Brenda's got them. She'll make sure you get. So when they come, they'll get those to you. I apologize about that. We were a little delayed this morning in getting those as they came in the door, and then a lot of you were already here. So when she comes back, we'll get you to raise your hand one more time. You can put them down now because we don't want you to offend anybody. I'm teasing. So unless you change, what a blow to the disciples' ego. Can you imagine that? When Jesus kind of brought that little child, I mean, I could just see them just kind of standing there going, oh. And just kind of walking away and just kind of holding their head down and saying, I told you not to ask him that question. You know, I'm just beating up on the one. I mean, what are you doing? Honey? Look, well, you got us in trouble here. So, but unless you change. So in order to change, there has to be some things that take place inside of you. There has to be some things that begin to work, that begin to bring some transformation inside of your life. I was in the Philippines in 19... No, it wasn't. It was in, not 19-something. It was 2009. And I was at a conference, and it had been just another... We'd already been on furlough and come back to the country, and some major changes had happened for our time and period there. Guys, you get... They got them out. If you raise your hand, they'll be sure and get those to you. Hand me one, if you would, please. So if you're looking there on the notes, moving forward is impossible. The first blank there is impossible without change. Without change. And then the scripture there, Jesus says, unless you change. And so I'm on the third set of blanks there. But I was in this conference, and a guy was preaching there. One more right over here, Brenda. Thank you so much. And he was preaching a message about change, and he shared this one statement. He says, when I change, everything changes. And it was like somebody took that statement, crumpled it up, and then shoved it down my throat. Because it just hit, just boom, and it was just like, man, somebody just hit me right in the gut. Because I'll be honest, we were struggling. Chris and I, we were struggling in just some relational issues and where we were at and difficulty in communicating. And boom, that guy said, then he says, when I change, everything changes. And I went, ugh! You know, that's when I almost fell out on the floor. And God just hit me with that thing. And so I came back home after that conference, came back to Bangkok, and I guess Caleb remembers this, but I called him, because Katie was already in the U.S., I called him and Chris into the bedroom and sat down on the bed, and I just wept, and I apologized. I just said, you know, I need to make some changes. I said, I'm sorry, and I want to apologize to you guys for the way I've been, for the way I've acted, and if I've offended or if I've hurt, or if I've said things that I shouldn't have had or done things that I shouldn't have done, and I just want you to forgive me. And from this point on, I want you to hold me in accountability because I'm on a mission to change. I'm on a mission to change. And so that passage, that little quote there on your paper says, when I change, everything changes. And so I want you to just kind of hold on to that as we work our way through this, as we kind of work our way down through this. So I really began to do a lot of reading during that time and began to look and just began to look at how I could change, because what I was finding out is that my skill sets were not good. My skill sets were not good. And this is what happens in so many times with married couples and relationships, is that people come together in a marriage relationship and they just don't have good skill. They don't have good skill about how to communicate with one another because the only thing they saw was their parents, you know, just kind of going at it, you know, like two cats scratching in the backyard, you know. I mean, just, you know, it kind of escalates to this point until one gets mad and the other one decides to leave. And anybody been there? Anybody been through that scenario, kind of seen that thing? I mean, you've done it yourself, you know. Yeah, there's a few honest people in the room. There we go. Thank you, Paul. Because you can map this thing out. I want to tell you, Chris got mad at me for a period of time because she says, "Are you experimenting on me?" I went, "Yes." But she was cool with it after a while because she saw it. Because that was the only way I knew to change, because I would really just make a conscious effort to say things differently than what I had done before. And so we would come into a situation that was stressful, and, you know, the typical thing begins to happen is you begin to stand your side. You know, it's like two boxers in a boxing ring. You know, you don't cross this one right here, you know. So you're standing on each side of that line, you just listen to me, or if you just, you know, and this thing, this back and forth thing begins to, don't look at me like I'm the only one in this room that's ever done this before. I know you people. I know exactly, you know, because it happens. I mean, you're at this back and forth thing, and so you're kind of defending your position, and, you know, on the other side, she's defending her position because somebody has to be right. All the men, I only heard men say that. Somebody has to be right. Yeah, because that's in our mind, the thinking. But I want to just blow something out of the way. If we think there's a winner and a loser, well, then you've got it all wrong. Because if you're on the same team and somebody loses, guess what? You lose too. So the goal is for both people to win. For both people to win. So in order for that to happen is I really had to develop some new skill sets. I had to really begin to think about how do I approach this situation? How do I create an environment that my wife feels safe to change in? Because let me just give you some advice, men. If you don't create an environment that your wife feels safe, you will never, ever get out of her what you're looking for. It'll never happen because her life will close up and she'll close up on the inside because she doesn't feel safe to be vulnerable. And you do the same thing too. I mean, there's times that we like to be in a place where we can just kind of be ourselves, don't we? You know, that's why we have man caves. You know, you just want to be yourself. You know, you want to kick your shoes off and throw your feet up, you know, you want to eat potato chips and drop them on the floor and do all that. I mean, you just want to, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. You know, unless your wife makes you vacuum it up, and then you're very careful because you hate to vacuum. So, but you want to make sure. I mean, you have to create an environment that they feel safe in. And so in order to do that, I was, for myself, was needing to develop some new skill sets. And so I was recognizing that there was so much change that I needed to make inside of me. But before change can happen, we have to think about some things that really becomes the key ingredient to change. And that's really where I'm going headed this morning. We're going to take a few moments just to talk about this idea of what needs to change in order to bring change so that you can keep moving forward. That you can keep moving forward. That you can see your finances increase. That you can see your relationships get better. That you can see your job gain favor and everywhere you go. What needs to change? And so the thing that I've found, and everything I've read in Scripture and everything I've read from other people, is the number one thing that has to change in order for us to be able to make any inkling of moving forward is we have to change our thinking. We have to change the what happens up here. And for the sake of time, we don't have a lot of, I had some other stuff I could show you on video, but let me just give you a little, just quick thing that happens. Everything inside of your life begins with a thought. Everything inside your life begins with a thought. And that thought creates a feeling. And when that feeling begins to move inside of you, that feeling always results in an action that reinforces your thought and the cycle starts all over again. And that can be good or it can be bad. Either one. What always determines the cycle is whether or not the thoughts are positive or negative. And it'll spin this cycle until it runs itself out, until it ultimately ends in either bringing abundance and moving forward in goodness inside your life, or it explodes and things fall apart. Every time it happens that way, believe me. So let's take just a few moments and let's kind of look around this idea and around this subject. If you still have your Bibles there, I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, if you're wanting to make changes inside of your life, I really encourage you to take time and hang out in the book of Ephesians. It's probably the most power-packed book in the entire Bible that talks about change, living for God, being transformed, all of these things that go on there. So Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17 down through verse 19, Paul kind of, the guy who wrote Ephesians to this church in Ephesus, he kind of shares a little bit there about losing sensitivity. And that happens sometimes when we face stressful situations. We kind of get hardened. You get to a place where you just, you know, you harden yourself so many times, you just kind of, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. You just get to where you don't, I don't care. That's exactly what had happened with this young lady that called me yesterday. She's been hurt so many times that it was it. No more. The line was drawn. But he says that they become darkened in their understanding. They lose their sensitivity. And he's writing to a group of people who are supposed to be Christians. And in verse 20, he says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ in that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught with him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life." Again, he's talking about those skill sets, the way you do things, the way you approach things, the way you handle situations inside your life, your former way of life, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. There's those feelings that come into play again. To be made new in the attitude of your mind, or some versions, King James and others, says the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so there's this putting off and this putting on, and the whole idea there is like putting a garment on. Like, you know, I told the guys this morning, I said, it's all of us, we, you know, you don't wear the same clothes all the time. You change them once a week, whether you need it or not, right? So you're putting off this old, you guys wear them longer than that? Okay. So you put off this old part of you, you know, clothes, you wash them, and so that when you put them back on, they're fresh again, and they get dirty, and you put them off again. It's an idea that takes place. And so it's not just something that happens one time, because we really have this thing all messed up, that when I come to Jesus, everything is wonderful from that point. Because what happened when I became a believer? I came into a relationship with Christ, and a part of my life has now come alive. In other words, my spirit man inside of me has now come alive into a relationship with God. That's what's happened. But where's it living at? It's still living inside this thing that you see as flesh and bones that still has all of its baggage and garbage and bad skill sets and bad thoughts and bad thinking and bad habits and bad past and all this other stuff that's still connected, that's still dragging around behind me. And so something has to happen with this stuff that my new life is living inside of. And what he's saying is there has to be a putting off and a putting on of the new. And that's where the change is really happening at. That's where the transformation is taking place. That's the growing and maturity in who you are and your relationship with God, is that you're putting off that old junk and you're putting on new. But so many times as believers, we do not focus on those things. And we really miss it. Instead, we think about worship, and I love worship. But I want to tell you something. You can worship all you want and walk out of here and still get in a fight with your wife. And we think about, well, if I just come up and Pastor Gabriel will just lay hands on me, I'll be free forever. And we get that mindset and we really become confused about this thing about the Spirit's moving and work. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I want to tell you something. I would rather hang out with somebody any day who has the character of God than somebody that just always thinks about the Spirit of God moving. Because the character of God will always welcome God's presence. It's not something you've got to conjure up. You see, guys, we get the, if I could just come up and if somebody would just pray for me, then I could walk out of this place free. I want to tell you something. If you want to be free, you're going to have to change. And if you're going to change, it's going to take work. It's going to take discipline inside your life. But I want to tell you something. It's more than worth it. You work every single week for somebody to hand you a piece of paper or writing on it to get money that's going worthless. You just got to watch the news and know what's, it's where we're headed. It's going worthless. I want to tell you something. The rewards that I've seen happen inside of my life in the relationship with my wife and my kids that I've seen improve over the last 5 years, there's not an ounce of money out there that anybody could ever pay me to take that away. Because of change, folks. Because when I change, everything changes. When I change, everything changes. When I change, when I make the decision, when I make the decision to do something different than what I did before, let me give you the definition of stupidity. I mean, it's true. The definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That is the definition of stupidity. But yet, I was so stupid doing the same thing over and over and over and over again because I wasn't looking for different answers. I wasn't looking for things that really provide the right solution. So just one book over in your Bible there in the New Testament. If you'll flip over, didn't miss the blank there, in order to change, we must change our thinking. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. It says, whatever you've learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, do what? Put it into practice. And what happens? And the God of peace will be with you. I don't see anything in there that says, well, if you'll just go up and have the elders pray for you and if you'll just have anointed with oil, you know, I mean, that might be good for sickness, but I want to tell you something, for change, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It says you begin to work on what's happening up here. Work on what your thoughts are on a daily basis. Work on what your self-talk is. Pastor Mike preached a great message on meditation on Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you really missed it. And one of the words that he talks about in meditation is in the original language, it talks about murmuring. And we usually use that word in a negative idea. You know, we're murmuring again, we're complaining against somebody. But really what it's talking about is self-talk. Meditation, proper meditation is self-talk, and that's talking to yourself correctly. Instead of looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you stupid idiot, did you do that again? I mean, anybody ever done that? Ray raised his hand. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Doobie. You know, I mean, I can't tell you the time. You know, and on my job, you know, when you're working and you make mistakes, you're like, man, what were you thinking? You know, I mean, you're talking to yourself this way, and So really that word talks about self-talk and that you make sure that you're talking to yourself properly and that the proper words are coming out of your mouth and so that you're there. So in his book, Thinking for a Change, John Maxwell shares a couple of really cool thoughts from quotes from guys I thought was really awesome. John Locke, no, that's not the guy off of Lost. If you watch the series Lost, that's not the same John Locke. Instead, this guy was a British philosopher and physician. He really was the guy who came up with all the theories that really affect our thinking today about consciousness and who we are and self and all those things. He said this. He says, the actions of men are best interpreters of their thoughts. The actions of men are the best interpreters of their thoughts. Another really cool guy, James Allen, who was a British philosophical writer and poet. He wrote a book called As a Man Thinketh. And this comes out of the book of Psalms, chapter 23, Psalm 23, verse 7. He says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He shares this. He says, you are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? A couple of other things he said in his book was, he says, men do not attract what they want, but what they are. A man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. He said, men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. That's profound. Every action and feeling is preceded by a thought. That's that cycle I was telling you about before. Right thinking begins with the words we say to ourselves. As the physically weak man can make himself strong by careful and patient training, so the man of weak thoughts can make them strong by exercising himself in right thinking. So the question is, how do we change our thoughts? How do we change our thoughts? Real cool passage we use a lot, and you've probably heard it many times in the book of Romans, which is right after the Gospels there, the first four books, I think like the sixth book in your Bible. He says this, he says, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact of what Jesus has done for us, he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern or the way the world does things. In other words, don't continue to live your life the way you used to live it in bad thinking. He says, but be what? Transformed. You know, kind of like the movie Transformer. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, you have to replace what was there before with something different. You have to replace what was there before with something different. In order for you to be able to change your life and continue to move forward in what God has for you in the abundance, you have to change the way you think. And the only way to change the way you think is you have to replace what you're thinking about. You have to take away what was there before that doesn't work and now put in new information. Anybody ever have a virus on your computer? Chris came home the other day. We run Macs all in our house, but we still have one lowly PC that I would love to sling against the wall one day. But she used it at school, and she came home, and she says, I don't know what's happened to this thing. It just won't boot up, and she'd gotten a virus. You know, nothing she had done or anything like that. It was just one of those just Trojan horses. They just come charging in and just took over the whole computer. And so what was happening is that her computer was thinking incorrectly. And I had to go in and through a couple of back doors and get the virus stuck, because it was one of those things that actually shut down all her virus software and all that too. And I had to come in a couple of back doors and get virus software working so it would pull it up and kill that thing and get it out of there. Well, I had to renew the thinking of that computer. I had to get rid of the thing that was causing the problem and replace it with right thinking so it would operate correctly. Well, you're no different. You and I are no different. In order for us to be able to be at the place that God wants us to be, to moving forward inside of our life, changing, we have to change our thinking. In order for to change our thinking, we have to begin to replace it with right thoughts, with right thoughts. So I want to give you just a couple of quick things that will really help you there to begin to change that. So there on your sheet, it says change and growth comes when we do what? When we renew our minds to the Word of God and then practice living that word every day. So renew your mind to the Word of God and then practice living that word every day. So how do we do that? I want to give you a couple of logical steps. Logical steps. The first thing you have to do is you have to take personal responsibility. Nobody is going to do it for you. Nobody's going to rise up and say, hey, Marcus, I just really just have this great burden to change you and change your thinking and just to wash your mind and help you put all... It's not going to happen. I mean, you have to take personal responsibility. When your marriage faces a place that things just aren't working out and you're just kind of hit an impasse, or your relationships or your job or something like that, don't go looking for somebody else to blame. Instead, look at yourself in the mirror and you take personal responsibility and say, what can I do to make this situation better? What can I do? You have to be the one to take, because if you're not in control, well, then somebody or something will be in control for you. And so you want to make sure your information is coming from the right source. So you have to take personal responsibility. The second thing is you have to rethink your old ways of doing things. Remember the definition of stupidity? If it's not working, don't keep doing it. I've really struggled with this over the years with church. I didn't grow up in church, and so I really don't have any tradition, and really kind of glad. And sometimes I'd be in places, and we were traveling as missionaries. We'd be in one church in the morning. It's just kicking and growing and blowing, and there everything's happening, and it just power-packed. And then I'd go to a church in the evening. They were still calling people to sing up in the choir. I mean, it was like, you guys never been in a place like that, have you? That's really good. It's just two extremes. And the thinking of the mentality between the two is such a dichotomy of what's going on, because people get stuck in thinking in these old dimensions and these old paradigms and these old ways, thinking, well, this is the way my granddaddy did it, and so we ought to keep doing it this way so we can honor his memory. Well, I want to tell you something. He doesn't care anymore. You know? He really don't care. So change. And do something different, because our whole goal in everything we do as the church all centers around the Great Commission. And that's just a really good thing that you can gauge everything that happens inside a church. If it's not about reaching people, tell you what to do with it. We have garbage cans placed in all types of destinations around this church. Just go throw it right in there. Because that's what it's about. That's who we are. So we have to rethink our old ways. We have to rethink what we're doing and who we are, and begin to look for new ways of doing things. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is just stupid. It's just stupid. And I apologize if that's a word you tell your kids not to say. We told our kids that too. The third thing is this. Is you have to reject and replace your old ways of thinking. So reject your old negative thought patterns and begin to replace them with new ones you learn through God's Word and through good books and resources that teach you from God's Word. I really encourage you to look for resources from godly individuals that will help you pour into your life. I'll give you a couple of good books. You write these down really quick. Renewing the Mind by Casey Treat. Renewing the Mind by Casey Treat. Tremendous book. Tremendous book. The DNA of Relationship, the whole entire series by Gary Smalley, is awesome. Awesome. Just really good stuff that can help you think in the right direction. Lots of other books out there and lots of good resources. Joyce Myers has lots of good stuff that talk about the battlefield of the mind, things along those lines. So good resources. But the most important thing you have to be putting inside your mind every single day is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. And I can't tell you enough, I can't stress enough, the importance of spending time with God every single day in His Word. If you don't spend time in God's Word every single day, I want to tell you something. You will never change. And your circumstances will never change. And your life will never change. Because God's Word is the agent that cleanses our mind and enables us to change our thinking. And so it's so important for you to meditate, get God's Word inside your heart. All right, we need to wrap this up. The last thing there is practice these new ways of thinking until God's ways become your way. Until God's ways become your way. You see, folks, when we begin to get this new information, we begin to digest it in our life. We begin to think about, all right, God, I want to renew my mind. Well, God, I whenever I face this situation, I tend to go down this track. So, God, how could I do it differently? Well, your word says that I ought to think about whatever is lovely and good and admirable and praiseworthy and excellent and all these other things. Well, God, my mind tends to just kind of go negative and I get depressed. And, you know, when somebody tells me something and I do this, well, then begin to think about how I could handle that differently. While you're feeling good, why don't you just paint a couple of scenarios? It says, all right, when I face this, God, I'm asking for your grace and the fruit of the Spirit of self-control to give me strength during this moment to do things a little bit differently. When we come in and Chris is stressful and she's had a tough day and I haven't gotten this done or something she's asked me, God, instead of me reacting, help me to respond correctly. That's very important, guys. The difference between reacting and responding. Because reaction is something I do out of an emotion that I feel. But responding is something I do according to the Word of God and according to wisdom that God's given me to make right decisions. You see, you may be at that situation today that, man, things are tough on the job. And maybe things are tough at home, or maybe things are tough in other relationships that you're in, or maybe they're just tough inside of you, that you're frustrated with yourself. I'll be honest, I didn't like myself for about 30 years of my existence. I really didn't like myself. Didn't like who I was. Didn't like the circumstances surrounding my life. And so there was always this proving that would always go on inside of me. I grew up the youngest in a neighborhood of 6 other boys. So I was always just fighting and scrapping for somebody to give me some ounce of respect, of value. Maybe you're in that place today. And you just feel like that there's not a lot of worth there. Maybe you feel like there's not been a lot of answers for where you're at, and you just kind of learn to live in the dysfunction. Have you ever been there? Just kind of learn to cope with what's going on. We learn just to survive instead of learning to thrive. Just learning to just kind of hang out and just kind of get by instead of being transformed and changed. And you read the Bible and you get depressed. Everybody been there? I've been there. You read about abundant life and you read about always being happy and the joy of the Lord is my strength and all these things. And you're just like, dear God, I don't think it's possible for me. I don't think I can get that. I think you were writing about somebody else, God, when you wrote that, because it certainly doesn't look like my life. You ever been there? Man, I've been there. And it's a tough place to be. And it's a hard place to be. And it's a depressing place to be. And it's frustrating. And you come and you try to make changes and you pray and you ask God, and it just seems like you just hit one roadblock after another. I want to encourage you today. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because change is coming. Because the thing that you're going to do different is you're going to change the way you approach your circumstances. Because you're going to learn to approach your circumstances according to God's word and what He says about you. Because He says you're bought with a price. He says you're valuable. He says your life has more value than you could ever imagine. So much value that He put His Son on a cross with arms open wide to demonstrate how valuable you are. You are. You are. That's your value today. That's your value. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated His love for us. That while I was still broken and messed up and all screwed up, Jesus died for me. You see, that's who you are. And God has a tremendous plan to take you out of the difficult situation you're in and move you forward. Move you forward. Move you forward. And when I listen to that song every time, that's what I think about. God, I'm moving forward. God, I may not like where I'm at right now, but I'm moving forward. This is going to change. It's only a season. Because I'm going to listen to what you say. I'm going to renew my mind according to your word. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. Maybe you're at this place today and you can say, Pastor Dennis, I want that. I really want that. I really desire that. But you know, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I haven't really given my heart to God. I've kind of showed like I did. Maybe you've been in church for a while and you've kind of acted like you did, but deep down inside, you really know the truth that you really don't have a relationship with God because it doesn't show up in every part of your life. Because you just go through the motions and you have to fake it so many times. Or maybe you've never asked Christ into your heart, and you're at this place today, and you say, man, I want that. I want to move forward. I want my life to be different. And I recognize that this is the first step of change inside of me, is I have to be in a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, just you and I in this, just a quiet moment, would you just slip up your hand and just kind of say, hey, that's me. I want you to pray for me today. Would you pray? Anybody in this room this morning, you're at that place, you just say, I want to make some changes. And the first change is I want Jesus to be my Savior. Anybody this morning? Maybe you're here today and as a Christian, you're like me. You've been serving God for 20 years before you recognize that things could be different. And I really wish somebody would have told me a long time ago how my life could change if I would just do some really simple things. Some really simple things. Maybe you're at that place today and you're ready to make some changes. You're ready for your life to go in a different direction. You're ready to learn some, as Gary Smalley calls it in his book, DNA Relationships, some new dance steps. Because the dance you've been dancing hasn't gotten you very far. And you've been really struggling with issues and problems and just reoccurring things that keep going on inside your life. And you try to run away from them, and they keep following you. You try to escape and change location, and they seem to show up right where you're at. Well, see, the problem is not your location. The problem is what needs to change inside of you. Jesus said, unless you change. Could you just slip up your hand this morning, if that's you this morning, and say, Pastor, I'm ready to make some changes. I'm ready to make some changes. Yes, thank you. I'm ready to make some changes. Would you pray for me? I want the self-control that I need. Fruit of the Spirit operating. I want to make some changes. Anybody else real quick before we move on? Yes. I want to make some changes. Amen. See, I want to keep changing, folks. Every time somebody says, I want to keep changing. I want to keep going. I want to keep moving forward. I want to keep seeing my life moving in the direction that it needs to go because I want to live in the abundant life that God wants. Would you stand with me this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.